Guys, today we are joined by the beautiful Alessandra Torresani. She is a multifaceted artist known for her captivating performances in film, television, and theater. From her early roles in hit TV shows like Malcolm in the Middle and The Big Bang Theory to her life-changing work as host of the Emotional Support Pod, Alessandra continues to captivate audiences. I'm excited to dive deeper into her journey and insights into the world of motherhood as it relates to living with bipolar. She is dedicated to destigmatizing mental health by spreading kindness, compassion, and hope. Alessandra brings tons of fun and laughter to her mission while sharing her story and the stories of others on her podcast, Emotional Support. This is a highly requested topic on navigating motherhood and bipolar. So Alessandra, thank you so much for being here. And we need to give our friend Matt a shout out for getting us connected.
Yes. Oh, this is so sweet. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be having this conversation with you.
I know. I was talking with him and just back and forth about this topic because I feel like I've gotten so many questions and I'm like, I can't answer this. I'm not a mother. I want to bring on someone who is living with bipolar disorder, has navigated this journey. And I know you get into this topic, but I want to start from the beginning. So before you were a mother, before we get into this topic of what is it like to have this experience, what was it like getting the diagnosis? So something that sticks out for me is I know I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at 19 years old, but there was a lot of events prior to that, misdiagnosis, things like that. I know it's pretty similar experience for your story. So I don't want to tell it. I'm not going to say too many details. I want you to tell us that. So what was it like for you getting your diagnosis and how old were you? Did you feel supported?
I was about 21, 22 when I finally got diagnosed and it got brought to my attention from an acupuncturist who was a friend of mine who was doing work on me and doing body work. And, you know, I was saying symptoms and things that were happening to me. And he was like, a lot of people that I work with that are creatives in the business, this is kind of very similar to them. Has anyone ever told you you might be living with bipolar disorder? And it was something that, you're right, I was misdiagnosed my entire life. I had been put on antidepressants, which make your highs higher and your lows lower. I had been on nothing medication wise. Going through puberty was really hard for me because my hormone levels were out of control. I was on the wrong medication. I had suicidal ideations and I was not that person at all. And then when I finally got diagnosed, when I had gone into a doctor and I said, hey, you know, someone had said I should bring this up to you. Like, what are your thoughts? And they said, oh, absolutely. That's what it is. And it was a full-blown relief because it felt like, wow, finally there was something that was the issue. I always felt like there was a problem, but I didn't know what the problem was. And then it was identified and there was a solution and there were different modalities that I could practice and medications. And it finally felt like, oh my gosh, like all of this has led to this one moment.
Right. The clarity that comes out when you're just like, this is what's been going on this whole time. Cause I was told, cause I feel like that was my same situation, antidepressants. And then it's all the,
and you know, it's like the worst because it's the wrong medication just will totally mess you up.
And exactly what you said, it makes your highs higher and your lows lower. And I was experiencing that. It's very hard to, especially put into words. But I know for me, I'd love to hear if this was your experience as well. But when I was misdiagnosed, and even when I was diagnosed with bipolar, I spent a lot of time still running away from it. And it wasn't until I was around 23 that I really dedicated myself to doing the work and realizing I actually have to make changes to my lifestyle, my thinking, my habits to be in a better place. If I keep doing what I'm doing, it's not going to get me there. But you mentioned all the modalities you discovered and the treatments and all these different approaches after getting that diagnosis. When you got your diagnosis at, you said 21, 22, did you have that moment where you were like, I'm going to do this work and commit, or did it take you a little bit of time before you were?
I kind of jumped right into it because I had been dealing with symptoms since I was 3 years old. So I was exhausted, you know? And I think for me, I just was, the medication was just such a dream for me. it's not for everyone, but I was very lucky. It was a dream to me. It worked out. It didn't affect, you know, my acting. It didn't affect my emotions. It just balanced me out in the correct way. I, you know, was able to just breathe, I feel like. So for me, like, I just was like full force. Let's just go for it, because I had been having so many ups and downs for 22 years of life that for me, I was like, if finally I felt relief and heard and seen.
Yeah. And you're 36 now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I had to think about that the other day. I literally turned to my head and I go, how old am I? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, I can't remember. Like,
I know. No, I was like that too.
When it hits a moment, you forget.
It was almost like someone asked me his age and they're like, aren't you married to him? And I was hesitating because I know how many years apart we are. I was doing the math. I'm not good at count like the age sometimes.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I feel like you lose track of it. And that's something else that came up for me is when you talk about the relationships prior to when you met your husband, because I think you said you met him 7 years ago and you guys met Halloween party and
now probably nine years ago.
Oh my gosh. And what stuck out to me is you talk about your approach to how you told him about your diagnosis and how different that felt compared to other relationships.
Hold on one second. Mom.
Oh my,
mama's on a call. Okay. 1 minute. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Is that
she's
lady?
Just learned, sorry. That's lady. She just learned how to open the door. So this is like a big accomplishment.
Oh my goodness. She's breaking through. She's like, I'm here. I want to talk.
I have to be honest. She loves the podcast so much. Like the idea of it. She always sits on the chair and grabs the mic and talks into it. I have so many videos of her doing that and putting earphones on.
Oh my gosh.
So my apologies. I hope you can edit that.
I can't wait to see you guys drop an episode and just have her just give her first input and just see that like in action. That's so cute.
I know. No, that's funny. I was like so confused. But the way that I met my husband when I first talked to him, it was the first time that I was very different. And I, compared to other relationships, because before I was a little hesitant of talking about living with bipolar disorder, all this stuff, because it was always held against me in other relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if someone was, you know, cheating on me, it was because I was crazy. You know what I mean? Like there were always, if you did this and you know, whatever, there's always this no animosity now, but I will say I made a conscious decision of being single for a solid year before I got in a relationship again. And because I was someone that constantly was like in a relationship that was just, and not because like I couldn't be alone. I actually thrive being alone, but it just always, I didn't leave a relationship until something else came along sometimes. You know, that sounds terrible. That's not what I mean, but you know what I mean?
Like, I get it.
I just was someone that there was always someone just, I had happened to meet. I'd be like, oh my God, this is so fun. Like, and I'm someone that's I believe in love. I love love. And I'm someone that jumps at love all the time. And I was like, you know what, for a year, I'm going to be single. I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to heal. I'm going to like grow. I think, you know, it was totally the Saturn return. If you believe in that, you know, when in that certain time of your life, when you, you know, really are thinking, what do you want? That's different. And my husband was very different than anyone I've ever dated. And I had met him for a long time, a couple, you know, multiple times, and it didn't spark to me where there was a connection until I was healed and I was ready. And so the second word out of my mouth to him was, oh, by the way, I'm bipolar. You know, you can deal with it or that's okay. You know, it's just, it's something I live with. And he didn't care.
My goodness.
So I think that was, but that's not for everyone. Like, you know, you don't have to share that right away with somebody, but for me, that was just a conscious decision that I decided to make.
Wow. Everything you just said reminds me of how I was with the constantly in relationships, but then being alone and thriving and doing well. But then it was always like there's something else coming around. And then I feel like for me too, is like when you said that I wanted to be a year of single, that was what my year of single ended up being a month of single before I met my husband. But I feel like it was kind of like in the beginning, like you said, I was newly into doing the work. And I was like that as well. I said, this is what's going on. I have this diagnosis. And when you said he's very different than anyone else you've dated. Yes. And I feel like for me, it was kind of like just not feeling deserving. Cause I feel like I always had to work to earn love. And sure. I feel like it was conditioning from previous relationships that were abusive and overcoming those things. But when you said like the second word out of my mouth was I have bipolar, and his reaction was, okay, I'm here. Yeah. I'm going to be engaged. And especially when you're talking about getting into motherhood and what that looks like, have you always been someone who has wanted to be a mother? I'd love to hear your background on how that kind of evolved as you guys got into your relationship.
I mean, I always knew that I wanted a kid. Like that was the no-brainer. Like I always knew that. The timing, I didn't know when that was going to happen, who it was going to be with. But I always knew that that was something that I wanted. That's a deal breaker for me. When I was dating people, if they didn't want kids, I'd be like, okay, we're not going to work. Mm-hmm. Because that's something that I always knew that I wanted. I'm very motherly and nurturing just with friends. And I always have lots of animals around me. I feel like it was inevitable that it was going to happen. It was just about timing. And I feel like it was just, you know, we sort of planned it, but like not really. I had to get off my medication before I started to try to have a baby. You don't have to do that. That was just a choice that I made. Mm-hmm. Then we were like, okay, I guess we should try. Like, this would be fun. Like, let's see what happens. And then it happened. So I was very blessed that it happened quickly and I didn't have to be off medication for a super long time where it was really scary. But I made sure. And what I say to everyone is if that is something that you choose to do and get off medication, make sure you have lots of doctors around you, make mm-hmm. sure you have a partner or, a family member that holds you accountable. You know, if you need to get on your medication, they will put you back on the medication and help you and guide you. You know, it's a scary thing and it's a step-by-step course, I would say, in life. Mm-hmm. And it worked out for me. There were definitely highs, there were definitely lows, but yeah, you know, I mean, I think that I knew I always wanted to be a mom. So this was always in the back of my head that was going to happen.
What really stuck out to me is I know you were talking about not having a lot of information from others with lived experience who are actual moms living with bipolar. It was, you said like going on Reddit and seeing like different things, like, why can't I find more of this out here? So I love that you became the person to literally put that out through your podcast and also the openness with your own experience and saying, look, I worked with a doctor. I went off my medication because I feel like there's so many people who always try to tell you, here's what I did or here's what I think would work. And I know you talk about it's dependent on the person and what kind of medication you're on and all this stuff. So I know there's some medications you can be on, you can't.
There's even medications that are so ridiculous that you're like, there's no way I have to be off this. Like I forgot what the acne medication, what it's called, but there's like an acne medication that you like literally can't be on for like a moment when you're pregnant, otherwise like all these issues. So it's like, I recommend anyone that's thinking about getting pregnant, like going into your doctor, talking to them, because there's things that you don't even realize. Like there's skincare products that you put on your face that you don't realize that you can't be doing. Like it's so bananas to me that we don't talk about this stuff all the time. And when you're in the mom content, I use this in quotes, like content creator world of like, the algorithm of TikTok and Reddit and stuff like that, you see it all the time. And you're like, these people are talking about it. But if you're not in that world, you're not going to find it. And you don't get into that world until you're, you know, somewhat down the line of like searching stuff. So if you're like considering to have kids, like, and you're thinking about this and you have questions and you live with a mental illness, or even if you don't, if you just like want to know more about that world, the easiest thing to do is literally go on your TikTok, start searching, you know, bipolar mom or, you know, whatever, and train your algorithm to start doing that. And like, you're going to learn so much, or like postpartum tips.
Right.
You know, or tip of the day. I try to do tips of the week, you know, with, you know, mental health and with babies and toddlers. And, you know, I think that that's how you start training your phone to kind of help you out and guide you in a direction of like, hey, there's this like postpartum care kit, which is really cool. And these are vitamins and they're natural and they help so much with postpartum depression. Like, you know, I think that I'm rambling, but that's kind of what I would do.
Right.
I wish I would have been able to do sooner.
I think that that's important because I feel like you're saying just looking at people who, and you're searching for it and you're not going to find it unless you're in the situation where you're considering it and you're having to go down these rabbit holes. But I think something that stuck out to me is you talk about thriving on a routine. And once that's thrown off, because I know that that's a concern for me. I know I'm the same way with sleep and what you're doing, all this stuff. So I'd love to hear what was helpful for you in navigating that part of your pregnancy, or what did you put into place or find that actually worked?
You know, I don't think I did anything different than what I had done before, but I would say, you know, you have to throw out the window that you're going to get no sleep. Like, you have to know that, you know, going into that. And I totally knew that. I remember thinking that moments before I pushed a baby out of my vagina, that like, this was the last time I'm going to have any peace where I don't have to worry about anyone else but myself. Like, which is so crazy to think about, but you have to think about that. Like, when you go to sleep at night, like, your ear is awake, like your one eye is awake because you're constantly concerned, like, what's going to happen to the baby? Like, you know, and your anxiety gets higher. So I think you have to know that your sleep is going to be off. So what can you do pattern wise that's going to maybe make your life a little easier? Well, for me, like, I always find myself eating the same lunch every day. I know that's crazy, but like, it's something that it's not a choice. It's not even something I consciously think about. I just do it, you know? So like, being able to like go to the same place every single day, pick up my lunch, like, it just, it's a routine that I'm used to. It's a pattern. I don't have to think about what I'm going to eat for the day. You know what I mean? I know that's crazy, but like, it's what I do, and it works. And I did it before I was pregnant, and I did it while I was pregnant, and I did it, you know, postpartum. And it's something that's very simple that really helps with the day. Like, you know, knowing at the end of the day, if you're a single mom or, you know, a single parent, it's really hard to have any time to yourself. I find myself the kind of mom that's like very involved and very super involved. We don't have a nanny. Like, my mom comes and helps me out, you know? And if I can have like 15 minutes a day, I take those 15 minutes, whether it's meditation or a bath. And that's like part of the pattern. I make sure that I like have at least 10 minutes to myself. And whether that means like, I stay up a little bit later at night and I'm on my phone and I'm doing work on my phone, whatever it is, like, you find those patterns, you know, and it helps out a lot. And I think kids thrive on structure. Like, I know a lot of parents maybe disagree with me and they're like, they should be out and playing and being kids. I agree with that too. But I think that kids do thrive on structure. They thrive on, I'm a very hippie parent, I like to say, in the grand scheme of things. But I believe in like kind of the like Montessori lifestyle of like, kids play, you know, when they are listening to music and they play there with their toys. I don't think TV should be on all the time, but don't get me wrong. We are Disney family. We have Disney on at night. You know what I mean? And we watch a Disney movie with dinner. Like, there, see, it's like a balance, you know, it's a balancing act. But I do believe that kids thrive on structure. They thrive on classes. They thrive on schools. They thrive on learning from teachers and from others. And I think that helps with my pattern.
I think something that stuck out to me is just eliminating the stress, because obviously it's going to be stressful no matter what, but what can I do?
It's insane.
For me?
Yeah.
You're saying those 10 minutes or the patterns that are coming up. I think for me, hearing you say that, I feel like I do this with meals too. I don't cook really. So it's like, if it's easy and I can make something like the same thing all the time for lunch and it's an easy thing, that is what I need. Cause I feel like you're already worried about the anxiety of like, is she needing me or what's going on, or what, it's always that attention to my child and all these things on top of it. So I like what you said about trying to simplify that by having those patterns, having those things for yourself, but then also, what else do I have outside of myself? I love you mentioned having your mom there and having her be present.
And look, that's very lucky. Like, people don't get to have that. But I will stress so much that something that I think we have lost as multiple generations have gone on, is we have lost the sense of community. We have lost the sense of, you know, we were, when we had babies, like way back in the day, every culture all over the world, it was family, it was neighborhood. Everyone got together and like helped out. We have totally lost that. It is a completely isolating, lonely, depressing, anxiety-filled moment for those who live with mental illness, who don't live with mental illness, who maybe get mental illness because of postpartum depression and don't even realize it. But we lack the community. So, you know, the first thing that I would always recommend to a mom too is like, or a dad, is like, the second you have a baby, walk in your neighborhood. If you see another baby walking, go up to that person. Don't be scared. Like, be like, hey, how old is your baby? Connect with them. I have connected with so many friends who I've now been friends with for almost 2 years because I met them when I was, you know, bleeding and 2 weeks postpartum and walking in the street, like zoned out like a zombie. And it's a support system, and it's a very lonely, lonely thing, no matter how big your family is, no matter how many friends you have, because odds are your friends are not having babies at the same time as you. So, you know, I really don't be afraid to find a community, even if it's online. A really good friend of mine, Lexi, her episode is going to come out in a couple weeks on my podcast. She's starting, she's on her second baby. She's going to give birth any day now. And she started this community of moms where it's literally a support group where they get together postpartum and they sit on Zoom and they talk, and any questions they have, they get together. They talk about breastfeeding. They talk about, you know, hormone depletion and like what it does to you. And it's so great. It's a support system of moms. And I think that that is something that, we need right now. You know what I mean? And if you can find it online and through Zoom and through other, you know, moms or dads, just ask the questions, you know, that's what I would say.
Okay. So something that sticks out to me when you were saying that is community, because I feel like just like we build community around living with mental illness, navigating that bipolar disorder. For me, that was what has helped me the most, is these conversations, is meeting other people who live with bipolar. Because you don't feel alone. And you're like, this person is like, it doesn't matter where they are in the world, but it's like, I know we have that, you know, connection. We can text, we can talk. So treating that the same way as motherhood and navigating it through having that support group. And I've heard it from so many of my friends who they already have children. And one of my friends is having their daughter any day now. So it's coming any day now. They already have their son, but she was saying that too, feeling so lonely because either you're the first friend or no one else has kids. And then you feel like you don't get invited to stuff as much because I have a baby and are people going to want me to come around or all these, there's all these things that you go through that no one tells you until you're actually a mom. And now it's too late to be told because you are, and you're trying to learn it anyway. So I love that you bring that up of not being afraid to do it. And you talk about, I met all these people when I was postpartum and out on the streets and bleeding and talking to these women and making these connections because it's like having someone who can relate and understand what you're going through rather than, you know, feeling like, I don't know what to do. I can't find a resource. So that, and something else I really like about what you were saying when you talked about going off your medication, you said you weren't open about it at the time, going off the medication with the pregnancy, but being such a proponent for medication. I feel a lot of that myself. So going through pregnancy and going off, and then what do I say? What do I share? And almost kind of like an imposter for a little bit of, I'm doing well, but how do I word it to show people what I'm doing or why I'm doing what I'm doing? So I really love just your vulnerability with sharing that. Like, look, I didn't outwardly share this in the beginning because I was unsure, you know, I was like, do I want to say, I think you said the third trimester of your pregnancy and announcing that, but then not wanting to say, talking about the medications, because it's like, oh, I'm such a proponent for that, but now I'm not on it. So how do I fit into that? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on navigating that. Cause I feel like that's something that I'm always trying to learn more about, put out for people with just what works for people. So just hearing your thought process and all the challenges that you face with that, what was hard or challenging during that time of going through the pregnancy and working with the doctors and going off the medication? Cause I know you mentioned having some episodes come up and almost ended up in the hospital, super close to it. So I'd love to hear you talk about the challenges.
Yeah. I would say the biggest challenge is is sharing it with others, because it's your own personal journey and you're going to get people who will judge you, and you have to be very strong on your decision on why you did it and not feel the judgment from others when they do judge you. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, when you're pregnant, you are so hormonal and everything is emotional and everything is highs and lows. Mm-hmm. And so who's to decide, like, is that bipolar disorder? Is that hormones? Is that, you know, you have no idea, but I think you have to be really confident in your decision if you're going to talk about it, because, you know, I spent a whole article and I spent months working on this People magazine article where I announced my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I had more people write me things being like, you know, how dare you do that? Like, you get off your medication, like, you're harming yourself, you're harming your baby, you made the wrong decision, you're evil, mm-hmm. you know? And then I had people that reached out to me that were like, wow, this was what I decided to do, and I was really nervous, and I'm so happy someone else did it, and thank you for talking about it, because mm-hmm. I had to keep it a secret. And like, those moments are like why I shared it, because I am not afraid of what my decision is, and I'm happy that I did what I did, because mm-hmm. for me, I didn't want to take any chances, even if it was a 0.00001% chance that something were to happen to my baby. And the joke is like, the research, I know the severe research behind it all, and there's not research done on it. It's done mm-hmm. on chick embryos, and you can't yeah. really tell a chick embryo, what the mental capacity is afterwards, or, you know, yeah, you can see physical, right. you know, deformities, but you can't see the mental. So, mm-hmm. I'm still stand by my decision of not taking medication when I was pregnant, or breastfeeding for that matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's not for everyone. Like, I have a lot of friends who, you know, chose to get off medication when they were pregnant and then chose not to breastfeed because they wanted to get back on their medication. And that was amazing. Like, that was the right choice for them, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that if you, whatever your decision is, you stand by it and you go with it, and you can't let the outside world affect you as to right. why you made that decision, because it will eat you up inside and you will not be able to handle it. That being said, you know, I was very lucky. I had a support system that I did, because the second trimester, which I was told, oh my God, it's the best, it's so fun, was fucking hell for me. And it had nothing to do with my baby. Mm-hmm. That was the unfortunate thing. I just would have these manic episodes that came out of nowhere for no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. And I questioned, like, oh my God, is it because I'm not on my medication? But then I would talk to moms, you know, who did not live with bipolar disorder, that were like, oh no, we went through that same struggle. But mm-hmm. for us, it was, we ended up having, you know, postpartum anxiety afterwards. And I was like, oh wow, I got that too. So, you know, you never know what anything is. So my point of the story is you do what you gotta do. And just know, if you share your story, you have to be really ready for judgment. And
right.
if you don't want the judgment, don't share. It's no one's business, you know?
Yeah. And I love the way that you, like, when you came out and said that and said, look, I struggled with this, with sharing it for a while because of these things. Yeah. And I feel like talking about that too, because I know for me, we don't have a timeline for when we have kids. Like, yeah. like we say maybe at least a year, right? Or whatever. But I think that's kind of my approach. For me, I know the medication I'm on, I cannot stay on. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, let me go talk to this doctor, and they're there for me over here. But I feel like I get so much out of talking to people who actually have gone through it. Like you said, reaching out to other moms.
Sure, it's personal experience.
And it's cool to see, like you said, even other mothers that don't live with bipolar, because I feel like that's also a part that I'm like, how do you separate hormone? Like, what's going on with that? With the bias? So it's like, you can't really know. You just live, yeah. you just go through it. And I feel like that for me goes back to the point that you mentioned earlier, of what has helped you and like kind of anchored in all of this is that support system, is having, having those conversations, having those groups. Cause I feel like that's what I always come back to whenever I have these questions of the what ifs or the unknown, you're going to be there still no matter what. So having these conversations and being able to get through that, I feel like that's something that I'm always trying to figure out. What is this going to, you know, going to be like, or whatever the situation is. But I would love to ask you, in the process of going off the medication and then saying, here's what I did. I love that. Cause I feel like it's what works for the person. Like someone else is like, oh, well, I was off, but then I went back on and I didn't breastfeed, but then it's like, I did this. So did you go back on the medication or still not
I'm
on?
No, I'm still off because I'm still breastfeeding. So, you know, and for me, I have been doing all different types of therapies and stuff. In the meantime, I do neurofeedback therapy. I was suffering postpartum anxiety. So I've been trying different things, getting back into my meditation because it's been very hard to not do that. It's been very hard to do that while having the baby around, and hard to not do it because you need it for your mental health. So it's been tough, but for me, I have no timeline of when I'm going to stop breastfeeding. And I always said to myself, if she wants the boob, I'm going to give it to her. And that was kind of something that, and I've been, knock on wood, been balanced. My bipolar disorder has not been what I would say. I don't know if my body is just allowing me to like be at ease. I don't know. Or I don't know if the neurofeedback therapy has been happening, helping me like with that as well, on top of the anxiety. But for right now, I'm not going back on it until I finish breastfeeding, and I'm letting Lady be the decision maker on that.
I love that, because I would talk about that with my husband and other friends who I know have had children, and they talk about, I have bipolar disorder. This is kind of what I did. So I feel like that's kind of what my plan is. I would like to do that as well. Like go completely off medication, but work with my doctor, have my therapist, have this support network. And I feel like a big piece of it too, is still reaching out to you and people who've been through it.
Community.
And saying,
always. And you know, I'm always here to talk about it, because there've been so many moms that have helped me through my journey that like, you have to pay it forward. I think it's something that you learn. It's like, you know, I'll never forget. There was this one mom who I know, and we were friendly with each other. We've been friends, but we're not like super tight or anything. And our kids are older than me. And I had like a question about a school like a year ago about like something. And she was like, how are you doing, mama? Like anything you need, I'm always here for you. We have to pay it forward. We have to support each other. I was like, I never forgot that. I was like, wow, she just helped me out so much. I haven't seen her in years. Like she did not need to do that. She does not have time for this. Like, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, wow, that's what you do. So whenever there's a mom and I find out she's pregnant, I like go over and above to be like, I'm always here. Let me know all hours of the day, because there were so many moms that showed up for me that I'm like, it's my duty like to do that. Like it's tough.
And I feel like when you said, oh, she didn't have to do that, I feel like I always, it's funny, because when people reach out to me, I'll be the same way. And I'll be like, oh, here. And I'll talk with them. And then I feel like they'll be like that too, of, oh, I'm surprised that you said this, or you didn't have to do this. And I feel like we always feel like that, but it's so nice to have that, because I feel like having those people who have gone through it and just seeing whatever their journey is. I know there's people I've talked to who were like, I didn't even get diagnosed with bipolar until after I had my kids, or, you know, it was like later. So everyone's timeline is so different, but it's so interesting. Different.
Yeah.
And it's so helpful, because I feel like I'm like all about just sharing anything that can help somebody. So I'm like, look, if it's your story, if it's someone else's story, and we're talking about motherhood, we're talking about balancing that and bipolar disorder. And I love that you're saying this and saying, look, here is my journey and what I've gone through and where I'm at present day. And then I'm trying to put these things in place so I don't end up back in the hospital, so I continue to take care of myself. And what are those things? What does that mean? What does it look for you? And if someone can pull pieces of that from something you do, and not everything will work, but they're like, hey, this is what she's doing. I tried it. It's helping. That's literally huge, because it's just about going back to the point of this whole podcast. When I talk about live well bipolar, it's trying to give people the resources to what they can do to get on the path to live well bipolar for themselves. What does that path even start to look like for me? And is it possible? And how have others been able to do that? So something I want to ask you is, when you think about the name of this podcast, I always ask everyone, because everyone always has a different answer, and it's so interesting, but what does it look like at this point in your life as it relates to being a mama to Lady, and how is that partnered with what it means for you to live well bipolar?
I think just like waking up in the morning and like putting my feet on the ground and like surviving. Like, you know, I think that we don't celebrate the, and I have to remind myself of this, but I don't think we celebrate the little things enough. And I don't think we celebrate the fact, like, I'll just say for those who live with bipolar disorder, like you woke up today, like you are here, and you chose to get up out of bed. Like that's a huge accomplishment. There were many times in my life where I literally could not put my feet on the ground from bed. So I think that for those of us who live with disorders like this, like that's a huge accomplishment. And we have to remember that.
Right. And I love you. You talk about the small things and continuing to acknowledge those and celebrate it and be proud of what that looks like. Cause I feel like we are always our hardest critics. We're always hardest on ourselves than we are on anyone else. And I feel like that reminds me too of something you were talking about. I heard you say your identity, questioning, you know, okay, well now I'm a mom. What do I do? The work you do with acting, the work you do with the podcast, there's all these different pieces, but how do I define this new part of my identity, which is being a mother and navigating that with bipolar. So I'd love to hear if you have any, you know, thoughts or
I'm still looking. I'm not there. I wish I had an answer for you. I'm still trying to figure it out. And it's like a day by day process of trying to figure out your identity. But I feel like it has nothing to do with living with bipolar disorder. So that there's one positive note, like for people in the world, you know, I think it's just as a mom, like things change completely. Some women, it doesn't change at all. For me, it changed completely. And it's just trying to figure out like, who am I? What does this new body feel like to me? What does it look like? What does this new persona look like? What does this new life look like? And I think every day is just a daily process, and every mom I've talked to feels the same way. I know some of them, you know, have a harder time like me than others. Some are very comfortable in their skin. I know that I've never felt more like myself being Lady's mom, but at the same time, from a career perspective and like a professional perspective and an outside perspective, I'm still a little lost. So to be determined, we'll say TBD.
I love that. And just trying to figure out what that looks like and how it all blends together, I feel like is often the hardest part of it. When you made a human, another person living, breathing on this planet. And I feel like we often can discount ourselves and downplay that. But that for me, I've always thought of that as the biggest role of anything. When I meet people, and I always ask about their kids, or I'm always the one, it's like, you don't even have kids. Yeah. And I'm over here like, so tell me about your daughter or your son or whatever you're doing with that. Because I feel like it's so cool just to see people's eyes light up and their passion for how that kind of translates and seeing it just come out of you. So it's just been amazing to hear your experiences navigating that, going off the medication, having the support in place. And then you talk about the dedication you put into the work of putting this out in the article with people, and all the time you spent into saying what I want to say, getting that out and saying, I'm releasing control of the reactions I get. Cause no matter what you do, if it's anything, if it's saying, hey, if you're telling the world I live with bipolar or I live with schizophrenia or ADHD or whatever you're sharing with the world, you're going to be right no matter what it is, positive, negative, all these different things. But I think what you're doing is so helpful because it's helping people who are on that journey of I'm not a mother yet, or maybe I'm a new mother, or whether I'm living with bipolar or I'm trying to support my kids, or just fears around that. Cause I know one of the biggest fears for me is that's not so much a fear anymore, but it was, you know, I remember my husband was like, who better to support when we have kids if they end up struggling with their mental health than you?
Sure.
But I feel like that was always something I was like, oh, I felt bad about, but it's when you get around people who see it in yourself, they see that you're capable of doing this and handling it when you're kind of questioning, feeling a certain way. And I love that you just open up about what that's looked like, because I feel like it's such a hard thing to share, especially like you said, it's your experience now. You're always going through it and I'm navigating this and still figuring out where exactly do I do for myself? And every day is going to be different, but it's having those, honing in on those simple patterns, having that support network. And that's the biggest things I've heard from this conversation is that community, that support, and the ways in which you show up for yourself. And I'm just excited to continue these conversations and see what's next to come on the road too. And I want to share with everyone, I will have everything linked in the show notes, but you need to go check out her podcast, Emotional Support Pod.
Yep.
If you don't already catch that and you don't know what we're saying, her name, it's
just emotional support, but everyone calls me Al. So it works.
Yes. Yes. So go check her out and subscribe there and listen to these conversations that she's putting out. And
but just thank you for having me not only on the show, but for having your own platform and, you know, giving a platform for those of us who live with bipolar disorder. It's very brave. And I just want to honor you on like what an amazing job you're doing. And truly, like, you are helping so many people just having these little conversations and, you know, it may only be an hour of a chat, but it really can help someone in a lifetime. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I loved this conversation and the history behind your story and connection and seeing all of these places you've been and the evolution of your relationship and all these things that we touched on, so many things here. But you guys, I want to thank you for being here and showing up, whether you're showing up for yourself, whether you're showing up for someone you love and care for, you are doing the work. You're an instrumental part of that work. And I always want you to remember that. And on that note, I want to say goodbye to you guys. And I want to say goodbye to Alessandra. So
thank you.
Thanks for coming up.